Go ahead and turn your Bibles, put your fingers in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. I will get to that later, but I want you to turn to your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, this evening before we move on to Romans, chapter 6. I was talking with a good friend of mine this week, it was in the middle of the week, and gave me a phone call, and he let me know where he was at in life as far as where his cancer has now gotten him. And he told me that he's not on hospice, but they're doing something that's called the end of life. And that statement that he said began to stick out of my mind throughout the rest of the week that I just could not shake off. And I began to contemplate about this, and we're going to deal with the end of life tonight, and I'm talking about here physically upon earth, and so we'll get to that. But before we go, let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God to gather our thoughts. I know there's a lot of the things that will distract us in our midst tonight. I mean, if you look at the fans, we got two going and one's not going. That will distract people, but on a serious note, I'm praying that God would just remove all of our distractions so that we can focus on what is being said tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We are grateful that we are able to come together once again tonight. Lord, it was a blessed morning this morning to learn about what communism could do to our country. Lord, we know the importance of what it means to stand up for you. And God, I pray that you just give every single one of us courage and boldness to go out into this world and to be a witness for you. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that we would all be challenged from your word tonight. God, as I prayed many times as I step into the pulpit, my prayer is that I would not do or say anything that would bring embarrassment to you. My whole goal and objective is to bring glory to you. So God, I pray that that would be done tonight. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Death. Death is a scary subject for a lot of people. Some people don't like to deal with it just because of what it means. A lot of people think it is the final chapter in their life. Death, something is something that everyone has thought about at some point. I've thought about that on many different occasions in my life, and I've thought about that on people in my life as well. When will so-and-so pass away? If you're to go into some certain website for, I think it's the celebrities of people that they expect to die this year. And on the top of the list is Rush Limbaugh because of the cancer that he has. Very well could be that he might go out into eternity this year. But my hope and prayer is if he does, that he has Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But death comes in everybody's life. And so in that, there is a subject of this: where will you spend eternity? I believe it's important for every single person that is in here tonight. Do you know where you will spend eternity? Some people will say, yeah, I know where I'll spend eternity. And they say, I know I'll be with the Lord. And I will usually follow up with the question, well, how do you know so? And I will get the typical answer, I grew up in a Christian home. That's fine and dandy, but it's deeper than that. It's more than growing up in a Christian home. If you were to listen to my wife's testimony, it's not about clinging on to the faith of your parents or the faith of your grandparents, because that is their faith in God. You have to have your own faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord. And I hope that is your testimony. Where will you spend eternity? Because death someday might come upon your life. And it might come at a point where it's not convenient for any of you. Today, the average cost of a funeral is between $7,000 to $12,000. That is pretty costly. I prefer not to pass away just to save expenses. I'm cheap that way. You mean you don't want to die? You don't want to spend? No, I'm cheap. I don't want to spend money. But anyway, that's the average cost of a funeral. Now, of course, if you want to go to a cheaper route, you can be cremated. That's another choice for you to make. But it all depends on what type of package that you get. I begin to think about this. The funny thing is, do you realize you get charged for coming into this world, and then you get charged for leaving this world? They're making money off of our entrance, and they're making money off of our exits. And they make a killing in between time as well. It's funny how you begin to think about those things. But though that is funny, here's the sad part. Funeral directors will feed off of your emotions to get you to get the most expensive package for your loved one. Well, you don't want your so-and-so, your loved one, to be in this cheap casket. Why not get him into this casket? And a casket can range anywhere between $3,000 to $12,000. It's expensive. And it's a money-making business for sure. But the question remains, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Death. What is it? And why do we have to go through this thing? What caused death to come along? Have you guys ever asked that question in your life? I ask that question quite often in my life. Because after all, were we not created sinless? Were we not created in the image of God? In the image of God, God is sinless. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Because in the book of Genesis, chapters 3, we see what took place because of man's sin nature. Now we're going to begin in verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So we see God going through with Adam and Eve the instructions of what they're to do in the garden and what they're not to do in the garden. Even God had to give instructions to these two. It goes on in verse number 2, and it says, "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Here's what took place after they ate this fruit that they were forbidden to eat. Verse number 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." It was in this chapter 3 of the book of Genesis is when sin entered into the world. And what do we know? What is a result of sin? Could you say it with me, class? It is death. That's what it is. Sin will cause us to die someday. Think about this. Adam and Eve had everything going for them until Eve was confronted by Satan himself in the garden. He found her in a place of vulnerability, and he began to seduce her with lies. He began to lie to her. He began to twist the very words of God around to make it more believable for her. During this encounter, Satan had lied to Eve about what God had said and twisted the very words of God. One thing that you and I have to understand, we face temptation every single day of our lives. Without a doubt, even though we are here in church this morning, we had a good message. We probably, before church, was tempted with somebody or something. And probably after services, in between until now, we have been tempted with something. A lot of us have driven our cars to church, and probably along the way, somebody might have cut you off, and you were tempted to sin. What do you mean? Your reaction could have been something that could have been devastating. Matter of fact, when I left lunch this afternoon, there was somebody that was in their car, and I had no idea what direction they wanted to go. There was no blinker on the car. I had someone to the right of me. I had someone to the left of me. I had my blinker on. I knew where I wanted to go. But the individual, I'm saying it nicely, that was to the right of me, had no idea what he wanted to do. He kept creeping out. He was there first. And if you're there first, what's that mean? They have the right of way. And so he would creep, he would stop, he would creep, he would stop. And that just infuriated me, Matt, to where I just wanted to get out my car and go pick up his little Civic and just move it for him. But I didn't. I said some nice things inside my mind. And I said, "Let's go, you fool." And I went my direction. We laugh, but at the same time, was I not in the wrong? Because first of all, I was tempted, but I wasn't sinning yet. My sin nature didn't kick in until I began to call an individual I never met before a fool. See, temptation itself is not a sin, because Jesus Christ himself was tempted, but he never gave in to it. The sin came into place in their lives when the both of them had taken of that fruit and they had eaten that. So in verses 6 through 7, we see two verses that totally change the world the way God had intended it to be. When sin had entered the world, thus from that point, sin became a barrier between God and man. There was a wall put up that day between God and man. It has been a barrier ever since. Let's think about something as we continue to go on with this thing called sin. Up until then, life was good, was it not? All their needs were taken care of. They had nothing to worry about. What do we worry about today? We worry about keeping the roof over our heads. We worry about having food on our table every single day. And if you have a teenager in your house, you worry about having food on your table every single hour so that they can continue to be fed. But they had no worries. Everything was going well for them. But one thing that I wanted to point out at this particular time, nothing until that day, nothing ever faced death until sin entered into the world. You see what sin does? Sin brought death into this world. Nobody had died. No animal had died. And until then, no animal had ever been sacrificed. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. What God had created for good, man ruined it. Plain and simple. I believe we can all agree to that statement. What God had called good, man has ruined it. But as we continue to go on here, death is a common thing that we all go through in life. We all go through it, one way or another. But it wasn't meant to be that way. What God had called good during creation, again, man has ruined it. There's some good news that we will consider throughout this message tonight. During the ministry of Paul, we were given some great news, but I will come upon that towards the end of my message. I want to leave you hanging until then. See, as you preach, you can't give everything good up front, because if you do, then the end, you're just left hanging. You know, it's like Batman. As soon as the show over, what do they do to get you to come in the next week? Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm going to leave you hanging until the end. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Go ahead and look at that verse with me and read it with me out loud. Just the first part that I read. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And this is something that many have and will face in their life. unless we are lucky enough to live for the return of Jesus Christ. I believe that I live in a day that I will see the Undertaker instead of the Undertaker. And if I happen to go by the Undertaker, guess where I'll be regardless? I will be in his presence either way you look at it. So if I go through death, I'm in heaven. If I go by the rapture, I'm in heaven. If I go through death, I just beat you. And I'm up at heaven saying, na 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 boo boo. What most people don't realize, that there's a penalty for sin. What do you mean? There's a cost. What's that say again? For the wages of sin is death. There's a cost for sin in your life. While growing up, if you had parents who truly loved you and wanted what was best for you, what would they do when you were caught doing something wrong? They would punish you, would they not? There's a cost when it comes to sinning. And I will assure you that I was punished very often. And I will tell you this, it spared me from a life of despair and a life of unrighteousness. It corrected my ways, and I'm thankful for every thing that came upon my rear end throughout my life. Truly thankful for that. There is a penalty for sin. So as a child gets punished by their parent, meaning they have been aware of the wrongdoing, your sinful nature has been found out. Go ahead and turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 13. I'm going to share with you the importance of why we should discipline our children when they are caught in the act of wrongdoing. Verse number 24 in the book of Proverbs chapter 13. He says, he that spareth his rod, say it with me, hateth his son. Meaning a father or a mother that doesn't apply the rod to that child is what? Is a hater of their own child. Meaning they can care less about what they do. They can care less about what has been done in that child's life. And they're going to continue to allow that child to go down a path of wrong living. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But it goes on, it says, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. What's the word chasteneth mean? It means he correcteth him many, many times. And I am thankful for those things. And this is what a father does to help a child in their life when sin has been committed. And I'm thankful, as I said earlier, for the rod not being spared in my life, because if it was, I would know for a fact, according to Scripture, that my father and my mother would have no love for me. And I'm grateful for that. It only took one sin to cause us to face death. I don't read of any other sins in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 6 and 7 that caused this, but one, and that was sinning against God when he told them not to eat of this tree. He told them specifically. So it only took one sin to cause us to face death. But some might say, well, that isn't fair. That's not fair to the rest of us. But I would argue that. What isn't fair is the fact that God created us in his image and man ruined it by one sin. And why do we sin? Why do we sin? Because we have an unsatisfied nature. We're not satisfied with the way that God has created us. And so because of our unsatisfied nature, we allow ourselves to continue to keep sin in our lives. And if you're a little bit bold tonight, you can probably utter these words with me. We could use the word that we are rebellious. We're rebellious. I hated that term when I got in trouble. There's a couple of them that I hated. One, you're stubborn. I never liked that term. I never liked that word. The other word that I didn't like is you're rebellious. I never cared for those two words, because the fact of the matter is, those are words in my life that cause a lot of heartache for people. And when I heard those words, it pierced through my heart like you wouldn't believe. Because I learned through that I let people down. And that's the truth. So an unsatisfied nature causes us to keep sinning. We're rebellious. Sin is a separator. It separates us from God. And one day, it'll separate us from the living. Sin doesn't have to control us, but it's something that we allow in our lives. And we allow ourselves to be controlled by the sins. But let's go back to what sin does. Sin will cause heartaches in lives. Well, why will it cause heartaches in lives? It will destroy families. How will it destroy families? It will destroy relationships. Because of a bond that was created earlier on from childhood, and when sin nature enters into a person's life and they become so rebellious, relationships are destroyed because of a lack of repentance and forgiveness upon individuals. So it will destroy families. This is what it'll cause the heartaches in their lives. It will destroy families. It will destroy relationships. And it will also destroy churches. Mrs. Reagan, back in the 80s, had a slogan. That slogan is, it came out for one particular reason. Drug use was high during the 80s. And she wanted to put a stop to it. And that slogan was, just say no. Can we reinstitute that saying tonight when it comes with sin for Mrs. Reagan? When we are tempted with sin, can we be reminded of that slogan from the 80s and say, just say no? See, regardless of how old you are, you're going to be tempted throughout your life. Doesn't matter your age, but you can say no to those things. So I would encourage you to do that. What Mrs. Reagan has suggested back in the 80s. Just say no. If you say no, you won't have to deal with the horrible consequences when it comes with sin. And the ones that I just mentioned are horrible consequences when relationships between a husband and a wife are ruined, when relationships between mother and children are ruined, when relationships are ruined between churches, with the church members. It causes a lot of heartache. Earlier on, I mentioned to you a statement I heard this week from a good friend of mine. And it's caught my attention, and that is the end of life. Begin to think about this meaning. I came up with this. What brings on the end of life is this. It's your sin. It's your sin. For the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad this verse doesn't stop here. Because if you were to read this verse and that was it, you would think, man, this is horrible. This is devastating. But God doesn't stop there. Let's continue reading on in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but, he continues to go on. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It goes on and says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have any idea what this means? It means we that have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, think about this. A believer who accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior will never die. Did you not see the key words in here? Eternal life. A believer will never die. That is exciting. It means the body someday will die, but your soul will never die. And when it comes to that point in time in life, what will take place is your soul will pass right in to the presence of the Lord and continue living. And this is where I believe we get the great term, when a person passes away into eternity, we have, he passed away. He never died. Begin to think about Dave yesterday after a phone conversation. He called me and began to thank me for being out there that evening. And he was asleep most of the time, and that's expected with what he's going through. And he called to apologize, and I told him there's no need to apologize. I understand the situation that he's in, and I was just glad to be there for the time that I was able to be there with him. And as I got off the phone with him, I began to think about something that he's been kind of thinking about. And so I texted him these words. I said, "Dave, when a believer comes to the end of his life, because of the eternal life of Jesus Christ, you'll never die. You'll be right in his presence." And that's comforting when you think about those terms. Even through sin, God has given us a gift. But it is a sin that has destroyed the body. What is needed for us to do when someone gives us something? We just all celebrated Christmas. I showed somebody the other day when our family got together. Our family has gotten so big that we can no longer meet at mom and dad's house for the meals and for the gift exchange. We all have to go over to the gymnasium. And we go over there and we begin to have a time of fellowship. We start off with food. And then I like what dad has done for many years. He'll go off and we'll sing some songs this year, every year, and what's laid upon somebody's heart, and we'll sing those for a few moments, and then you'll go off into scripture and begin to read the Christmas story of Jesus Christ, and then after that we all begin to go around and open gifts. And me personally I like to open mine towards the end, because I get so much great joy just watching the little kids open up the gifts. And this particular year, I got to watch Zane open his gifts. And just seeing the excitement on his face was truly amazing, because just seeing that kid get excited excites me and rubbed off on me a little bit. But I begin to think about this. You know, a gift is not yours until when? Until you receive it. It's not yours until you receive it. You know, mom and dad buys every person in our family a gift. Every single one of us. And it seems like there's 75,000 people over there at times. I found out that mom and dad have a lot of money. And I'm angry at those grandkids that try to take it from us. No, I'm just kidding. But those gifts are useless until you claim it as your own. Until you take that package that it's been wrapped in, and you begin to unwrap it. And then all of a sudden, when you see it, you get the excitement on your face. And then you say, "This is mine." I'll never forget the day that I received my gift of salvation. Right outside these walls, there's a tree back there. A gift was given to me. And I accepted it. And I got excited for what God did in my life. I'm no longer going to go to hell. My destination has been changed. Yes, my sins was taking me there. And yes, I rightfully so deserve to go there. I rightfully deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. But I accepted the gift that God gave us here in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. But the gift of God is eternal life. And I cried out to the Lord that day and said, "God, forgive me of my sins. I want the eternal life that you are promising here in Scripture. And I claimed that day, that verse. And that day, my eternal life in Him began. But it wasn't mine until I accepted it. God has given us a great gift. And that's His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's a payment for those who don't accept that gift. And we all know what that payment is. It starts off in that verse, "For the wages of sin is death." Without Jesus Christ, where do you go? You go to hell. What is sin? Sin is a separation from God. If you don't come to a point in time in your life where you realize your sin's taking you to hell and you don't do nothing about it, guess where you're going to spend eternity? I've been raised in a preacher's home. And if I did not accept Christ as my Savior, guess where I would be going today if I didn't accept Him? I'd be going to hell. The rightful place I deserve to be in. But God gave me a gift. And I opened that gift. And I got excited. Now, you know what you normally do when you get gifts? I began to, again, watch Zane this year. He didn't just stop there with the sheer excitement of what he got. But he began to grab his gift. And as soon as he goes, "Oh, I got this," he went right to his mom. "Mom, look." You know what he was doing? He was sharing that gift that he just got. See, the gift that I received that day from God, you know what I'm supposed to do? Shelly, I'm to share it. I'm to pass it on. Now it's up to you to accept or not. It's not yours until you accept it. You see the importance of accepting God's gift? Because sin is death. But God gave us a way out. What is the end of life for a believer? A home with God, our Father, for eternity. Yes, the end of life can be very scary for some, meaning those who have yet to receive Him. But for a believer, it's just a beginning. It's just a beginning. See, man's only here on earth for 70, maybe 80 years of their lives. But we'll be in the presence of the Lord for eternity if you accept Him. But here's the payment if you don't. You'll be in a hell with flames of torment that you cannot see, piercing your body for eternity. That's separation from God. You see the importance of accepting this gift? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to have the pianist play a verse or two. And if this is you tonight that it's been spoken about, you've yet to receive this gift, I encourage you to come forward to this altar, and we will deal with you if that would be your goal tonight. And I hope that is if you're here without Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you bless in these next few moments to come. Lord, if there is somebody here that has heard this message tonight, God, I pray that you just, again, as I prayed already today, just cause deep conviction. Cause them to move forward. Lord, I'd rather be embarrassed for 10 seconds walking down the aisle instead of spending eternity in hell. So God, I pray, whoever it may be, give them boldness to walk forward and to walk out of here a believer in Jesus Christ. And we ask in your name, amen.